All right, today we turn to Psalm chapter 23. We've been doing a mini-series on this chapter.
One of the most well-known and loved passages in the Bible. And we've been looking at the Lord as our shepherd. And in each message, we've been looking at one of the I statements. There's three key I statements in this passage. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall fear no evil. I will fear no evil. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is the one we'll look at today. So our title, The Lord is my shepherd and my host. We have a new theme introduced today. Therefore I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm chapter 23. And as we go through this, we'll read the whole chapter. We'll focus primarily on verses 5 and 6, but I will give a brief review, verses 1 through 4, which will set the stage. And in case any of you have been down in Texas the last 2 weeks and missed the last 2 sermons, this will perhaps help you out. So here we go, Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise You, our good shepherd, the great shepherd, the one who lays down Your life for Your sheep. We pray we experience You this hour as we feed on Your word together. Thank You for the beauty and the power of this song. We pray it would come all the more alive to us and empower us for another week of worship and witness and service. Glory be to You, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. First main point, the Lord is my shepherd and my host. When we get to verses 5 and 6, we have a new theme about the Lord as our host, which we'll get to. But first of all, let me say some words about the Lord is my shepherd. And this will be somewhat of a review, but it also sets the stage for the end of this passage. This is how this chapter begins. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And I've summarized what David, this is written by King David, and here's a summary kind of all that's implied here. The Lord is my shepherd. He reigns over me. He is with me. He cares for me. He protects me, and He leads me. And those are all things we've seen over the last 2 weeks that's here in this passage. First, the Lord, Yahweh, the first word here in this chapter in the Hebrew, the Lord, Yahweh. And we've looked at that. It was the name that God revealed to His people. And to know the name of someone implies that you have a relationship with them. So Yahweh the Lord, you see that early on in places in Genesis and so forth, but it's emphasized in Exodus chapter 3 where Moses has that experience with God in the burning bush, and God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go who've been in slavery for 400 years. And Moses is like, well, they're going to ask me who sent you. And the Lord says, tell them I am sent you. And the I am, the first person form of Yahweh, the third person form, Yahweh the Lord, it's all referring to the God who eternally is and who reigns. So in our English versions, we have the word Lord with the lower capital letters. And when you see that, it's referring to what's called Yahweh. And it's referring to the God who eternally is, who reigns, who's revealed himself to his people. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, he's the God who reigns. And he's a God who has a relationship with his people. He's the Lord and he's my shepherd. He is with me. He is with you. And we've been looking, and I've read throughout these sermons a couple excerpts from this little book. I'll reference it one more time, by Philip Keller, who, among other things, was a shepherd for a while. And it's entitled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he gives some great insights, which a few more that I'll share in today's sermon, about a shepherd's perspective on Psalm 23. And this is, once again, not going to work. So, good idea. So the Lord is my shepherd. He is with me. This is emphasized in verse 4, talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's part of the idea of the shepherd, that the shepherd is with me. He cares for me. Sheep need a lot of attention. They're precious animals, but they're kind of dumb. And they like to bicker with one another, and they can really mess things up. They need a lot of attention. Our Lord is a Lord who cares for us. He also protects us. He protects you. He protects me when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and so forth. And he's our shepherd who also leads you and me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, which there the idea is on the right path to get to where he wants me to go and so forth. And that includes, by the way, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We looked at that last Sunday, a brief review on that, that the valley of the shadow of death, from the shepherd's perspective, when they read this passage, they see how the shepherd is moving the sheep from one place to another as it grazes throughout the different seasons. And so what the shepherd would do is, as summertime is approaching, the shepherd is leading the sheep from one place to another because they have to keep going to find new grass so they don't stay in one area and so forth, and different things to feed upon. And they're headed toward the mountaintop or the high valleys or the high mountain areas when the weather's the warmest. But to get there, they're going to have to, oftentimes the best route would be to go down to the valley of the shadow of death. And it's referred to as a shadow of death because it's shadowy, the sun doesn't shine as bright and so forth, and there is danger. There's prey that and so forth, but it's the best way to go. It's where they can find water and so forth, and it's the best way to get to the mountaintop. And a couple things with that, that when he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the reason the sheep are in the shadow of death is because they're following the shepherd. He's the one who's led them into the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes in our lives, we're going through trials, we're going through danger, we're going through uncertainty, and it's sometimes because we're following the shepherd. But also, notice David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't leave us there. Also, they're going through the valley of the shadow of death so they can get up to the mountaintop for another place to graze. But in this life, the sheep don't stay at the mountaintop because winter's coming, so then they have to move on again. And so that's all kind of going on here. But regardless, the Lord is my shepherd. He reigns over me. He's with me. He cares for me. He protects me, and he leads me. And this also then sets the stage here for, in verse 5, you prepare a table before me. And from the shepherd's perspective, when they would get up to the high areas or the mountaintops or so forth, it was kind of like a table, In fact, sometimes even like in the Spanish word mesas, referring to tables or a tableland. And so from the shepherd's perspective, the high mountaintop areas was like a table. And it's the shepherd who brought them there and has prepared them a place to feast for a while. So the Lord is my shepherd. He reigns over me. He's with me. He cares for me, protects me, and leads me. We've looked at that the last couple Sundays. Now I want to move on to this new theme, the Lord is my host. This idea of the Lord is our host, who's prepared a table for us. And it's like we're at a banquet or a great meal. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. And this is one of the themes here in the Old Testament. And it has the idea of what God did for his people, even as they were wandering through the wilderness headed to the promised land, that God would provide for them, and so forth. So I want to say a few things about that. The Lord is my host, and I'll highlight it in two ways. First, he honors me and vindicates me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. This is a way of being honored. It's coming in and like you're a guest, and you're at the table and you're feasting. And the holy God is honoring his people, and we're at his table, and we have fellowship, and we're being honored. And it's in the midst of a fallen, broken world. Let me read from Psalm chapter 78, and we see how the psalmist sees this taking place when God's people were wandering in the wilderness. And I'll begin in verse 17, Psalm 78 and verse 17. The psalmist says, he's talking about Israel's rebellion in the wilderness days. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Meaning, can God provide for us in a horrible place like this? Well, of course, the answer was yes. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Well, that's exactly what God did. They were out in the wilderness, the desert. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them manna from heaven. He prepared a table for them, even though they were in the wilderness. Our experience of feasting at the table partially depends on our following the shepherd. And our experience of the Lord as hosts partially depends on us following our shepherd. Now, part of the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is our shepherd, even when we haven't been living in a way where we're really following the shepherd. God is faithful when we're not. And I think I emphasize this in the first or second sermon, but one of the powerful things about this passage is its primary focus is on what the shepherd does, not what we do. And what we do is very important, obviously. But it's so awesome that in the Bible, there's so many passages where the focus is on who God is and what he does. Sometimes we're refreshed simply just by thinking on that. How great God is and what he does for me and for you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's also my host. He's prepared a table for us. We're being honored. And David adds to that thought. Lost where I'm at here, sorry. Verse 5. You prepare a table for me. And also, let me skip ahead a moment to where he says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, from the shepherd's perspective, and let me just also say, when I did some study and what some of the scholars had to say, the ones I looked at, all saw the theme of host come into play here. But when you read this little book by Philip Keller, the shepherd, he's looking at the whole thing from the shepherd's perspective. And he says the shepherd theme continues throughout. So I'm preaching verses 5 and 6, both with the shepherd theme and the host theme. That way I got it all covered. But from the shepherd's perspective, he says, see, he sees the beam preparing the table before me, not only is what the host would do, but that's from a shepherd's perspective, what the shepherd has done for the sheep when he gets the sheep up to the mountaintop. And then when you anoint my head with oil, that's something that would be done for an honored guest. I'll come back to that. But Philip Keller says the shepherds would put oil on the head of sheep for multiple reasons. One is it helped keep the insects away from them. Another is that sheep could get scabs on them, and so the oil would help protect and heal them from that. Another thing is that sheep, in their stubbornness and their pride or whatever, like to butt heads with one another. So when they put oil on the heads, it would cause them to slip off, and then it'd almost be like they feel foolish because what they were trying to do wouldn't work because they're so slippery. So from the shepherd's perspective, anointing the head with oil was a way of blessing the sheep. So the shepherd theme continues here. But also this phrase of "you anoint my head with oil" also has the theme of what the host does for the honored guests. I'll give you an example from Luke chapter 7. Many of you are probably familiar with this passage where Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee and there's a woman who had lived a sinful life, and she comes in and begins anointing Jesus' feet and so forth, and this Pharisee is kind of put off by this. And Jesus says, "Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon," the religious leader, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." To have your head anointed with oil was something that the host would do for an honored guest. It's what God does for us. He honors us. We're called by his name, a Christian, a disciple of Christ. We're adopted into his family. We're guaranteed an inheritance that's eternal and cannot be taken away. We're justified, we're declared righteous in his sight, even though we're sinners. The Lord honors his people. We're children of the King. He also vindicates us, shows us to be righteous, what he's making us to be, and protects us from our enemies. Notice David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, from the shepherd's perspective, the shepherd would see this as leading the sheep up to the high mountaintop, even though the enemies, the prey, are around them. From the host's perspective, it's like even though we're still living in this fallen world, our host welcomes us in as an honored guest, and our enemies see it, and it's in the very presence. The enemies are still around us. We're still around danger. We don't have the guarantee of having a, quote, safe life from a worldly perspective. But even amidst danger and so forth, we're being honored by the Lord as his guests. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He honors me and vindicates me. He honors you and vindicates you. Say one other thing. The Lord, our host, he blesses me abundantly. Again, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows." To have a table prepared before us not only implies that we're an honored guest, but we're going to get to eat a meal. It's going to be good, and there's a lot of food. And it's like, as Clarence says, "Take all you want, but eat all you take." I don't know if that rule is in the life to come, but the idea is there's an abundance of food. A table's been prepared. We're going to have a meal. There's an abundance. We're blessed abundantly. Our cup overflows. This is likened to what Jesus did in when he fed the crowd of 5,000 and the crowd of 4,000. And when you read that in Mark chapter 6 and chapter 8, I think it is, where twice Jesus miraculously feeds crowds with just a few loaves of bread and fish. And he does it two times. And both times, Mark says, they all ate and were satisfied.
showing that there's a symbolic meaning here beyond the miracle that Jesus did, which was a historical event, but the way he did it pointed forward to something greater. In this life, we can be satisfied in our relationship with God. It's something that we have to walk through each day, but it also points to something greater, which we'll get to toward the end of the sermon, but having an ultimate satisfaction in the life to come. But our shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. Our host prepares a table for us where our cup overflows. And it's like Jesus who feeds us, and every one of us can be fed and every one of us can be satisfied. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not trials and pain and so forth. There are. And I'll address that in a few moments. But our shepherd and our host blesses us abundantly in this life. And verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because the shepherd has been shepherding us and leading us. Leading us in the paths of righteousness as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, bringing us to the table. Even though the enemies are still there, the danger's still there, we have no promise of tomorrow, but our shepherd is the Lord, our shepherd is with us, our shepherd is also our host who's prepared a table for us, and we can feast upon him. Now, what that looks like and how we can do that brings us to main point number 2. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said at the beginning, in Psalm 23, there's 3 key I statements. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd and my host, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The dwelling and the house here are 2 key Old Testament themes related to the whole idea of temple. And in the Old Testament days, first they had a tent or a tabernacle where God's presence would show up in power as they traveled in the wilderness. And then once they got to Jerusalem, and when David's son Solomon became king, God had him build a temple. And that's where God's presence would show up in a powerful, special way. And that's why, for example, in Psalm chapter 84, the psalmist says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord! My soul longs and even faints for you. And God would show up in a special way. His presence was there in the temple. For you and I as Christians today, his presence is inside of us if we're Christians. And it's part of, on this Pentecost Sunday, and I could have mentioned earlier, but I'll do it now, part of the blessing that comes with Pentecost, but the blessing that comes with being a Christian, is that the presence of God is with us and in us and in a more powerful, prominent way than in the days of the Old Testament. And it's no longer that his presence is there just in Jerusalem and the temple, but it's throughout this world wherever Christians are scattered in all tribes and languages and so forth. But there's a focus here on the dwelling, the presence of God. And as I said, it's often referred to as the house of the Lord. And the key idea as you move forward, especially in the New Testament, is not just a location or place, but it's wherever God's presence is. And as Christians, part of that is in us. So a couple things I'll say about this as we kind of now look at this from a New Testament perspective on dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. This is something that does happen for us as believers, but our experience of it can be magnified as we walk with Jesus. So here's a few thoughts. 1, seek Christ's presence as we journey by faith. The Lord is our host. He's prepared a table for us. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is with us and he is shepherding us. But our experience of that is partially dependent upon our intent, on us being intentional to seek Jesus and his presence in our lives. By feeding on the Word, seeking God in prayer, being still in prayer, worshiping God in prayer. This is something we do on a Sunday morning where we have an open time of prayer and we begin
by praising God in prayer before we ask Him for things. And by all means, ask God for things in prayer. But part of prayer is to worship God, to be still, to praise Him. And that's part of how we seek His presence, through the fellowship of the church, by being involved in ministry and so forth. We experience Christ's presence. We're seeking it intentionally. And as we do that, we continue to journey by faith. We're following the shepherd. Sometimes the shepherd is leading us through the valley of the shadow of death. There'll be danger. There'll be pain. There'll be uncertainty. But our shepherd is good, and he knows what he's doing. And we don't stay there. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let us intentionally seek Christ's presence. He's already inside of us, but our experience of it is partially dependent upon us intentionally focusing on Him. Second thing, find refuge in Christ's presence and be refreshed by His Spirit. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." As we intentionally seek the presence of Christ, we do so to know Jesus, to love Him more, but sometimes we need a refuge. Maybe we're being beaten up. Maybe life has us. Maybe we're weary and so forth. Maybe there's something we're afraid of. Maybe we have an enemy coming against us. We need some refuge. Maybe we just need a break. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. Find refuge in Christ's presence. Philip Keller points out, for sheep to be able to lie down in green pastures, I think I said this two Sundays ago, but some of this is so good, so I'll just say it again. He says, the sheep are not going to just lie down because they're afraid of so many things. The sheep need to know, number one, that they're protected from their enemies. They, number two, need to know that they're not going to be bothered by other sheep that are picking on them, which happens. Number three, they need to be not bothered by insects and other pests, otherwise they can't lie still. And a fourth thing is, they need to not be hungry. They need to be well fed. Well, if the sheep can see the shepherd with them, and if that shepherd's a good shepherd who's taking care of them, then the sheep is able to lie down in green pastures because the sheep feel safe, because they see the shepherd right there. The sheep are not bickering with one another as much as they might be, because if they start doing that, the shepherd intervenes. The shepherd's anointing their head with oil, and that oil helps keep the pests away, or if they got scabs, it helps bring healing. And also, if the shepherd's with them and he's a good shepherd, the sheep are well fed. So they're willing to lie down. We have a 110-pound dog named Clifford. And he's getting older, he's slowing down a lot. But when he's hungry and he's ready to eat, he can still kind of get excited. And he doesn't want to just lie down, he wants his food. But then if he's well fed or if he's tired or whatever, he can lie down and be real at peace. Sheep want to be fed. They want to know they're safe. They don't want to be bothered by insects and so forth. Part of the way that takes place is by the sheep knowing that the shepherd is with them and that the shepherd is good. Let's find our refuge in the presence of Christ, being reminded that Jesus is our good shepherd. And he does love us and he does care for us. And focusing on him and turning to him for our refuge and asking him to refresh us by his Spirit. That's something we pray, I won't say every Sunday, but quite a bit when the music team prays before we begin the service or even during our open prayer time, that we'd be refreshed if we've come in here weary as the people of God. One last thing. Be empowered by Christ's presence, rejoicing in our coming eternal glory. as we see and experience Jesus, who's Lord of all, and we focus on him as our good shepherd and as our host who's prepared a table for us and who's honoring us and vindicating us and blessing us so our cup overflows, we can be empowered with confidence, knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? If he who did not withhold his own son, how much more shall he give us all things? What can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. Hallelujah. As we seek the presence of Christ and as we find our refuge in the presence of Christ, we're empowered by the presence of Christ to live the life God's called us to live. And we can lie down in green pastures. Our soul can be restored. We're being led in the paths of righteousness, the right path to get to where God wants us to go. And even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, danger, pain, uncertainty, we will not fear evil. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings of fear, but we'll not let our fear control us. And our fear will not control us because we know our shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff will protect us and discipline us and comfort us. And we'll see that he's prepared a table for us. We feast of that in part now. There's a day coming. We'll feast of it in full. Our head is anointed with oil like an honored guest and like the shepherd does for his sheep to protect them from pests and to heal their wounds. Our cup overflows. Goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives amidst all the trouble and so forth because the shepherd is leading us and is with us. And as we follow him, goodness and mercy is coming behind us. And we can rejoice knowing that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this life, we experience that as Christians, as his presence is with us, as we fellowship with believers and so forth. We're, quote, in the house of the Lord. We're with his presence is with us, and it's forever. And what we taste of now is only going to get better. I'll close this series on Psalm 23 with a reading from Revelation chapter 7. It's talking about the great multitude that comes out of the great tribulation. And this is what John saw, and this is what he wrote. Revelation 7 and verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And the new heaven and earth will be serving, but it will be without pain, without problems, without danger. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Psalm 23, Revelation 7. It's all pointing to the glorious truths. We taste of it now. We'll experience in its full when Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Let's pray.